Let's take our Bible this morning and turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. We'll take a break from our study in John for this morning and look at here at the what's often referred to as the Christmas story, one of the accounts of the Christmas story in Matthew chapter 1. It's almost Christmas, and many people have lots of different names on their mind at this time of the year. It may be the names of people who they need to buy gifts for or would like to buy gifts for, and thinking about what to buy that person. They're thinking, well, whose name do I have? Maybe you have a family name draw and you're thinking, whose name do I have? What should I get them? Hopefully you're getting past that now because your time is running out. But there's a lot of guys in here. We've got another 4 days to go, so we're all right. Hopefully you don't forget your wife's name, men. Between now and then, that would be a bad thing. We have names of stores in mind. You're thinking, what store shall I go to? I know where I can get that gift from that store. And so you're thinking about that, the names of stores, names of people to send cards to. If you're in the habit of sending Christmas cards, which is getting less and less of a thing to do, it seems, with our technological age, but always a blessing to get them and a blessing to send them. And so sometimes you may have a list of people who you have in mind to send Christmas cards to. Maybe a list of names as to who you'd like to visit over the Christmas holidays. You have some time off work and think, well, who would I like to go and see? And it would be great to see Aunt so-and-so, or go and see Grandma or whoever. And you think the list of names of people to visit over the holidays. Of course, there's some names of some fictitious characters who've hijacked the season. Some of those names may come to our mind, and think about those things in the songs and so on. And so there's names, lots of names going around in our minds at this time of the year. Unfortunately, the name that many will not be thinking about is the one whose birth we are celebrating. And that is the name of Jesus. Now, the Bible tells us that he had a special name. And of all the names to remember this season, and though some of those other ones are good and maybe important in some ways, don't forget the name of the one who this season is to be all about. This morning I've entitled the message, Jesus, What a Name. And Matthew chapter 1 verse 18 says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord, we are thankful this morning for the name of Jesus, the significance of that name, and of course the one whose name that belongs to that name, or that name belongs to. Thank you, Lord, for our Savior who came. Lord, we remember at this time the incarnation of Jesus, and Lord, how the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Lord, I pray that this Christmas season would not find us so caught up with other names that we would forget the name of the one who came for us. Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts through the message today, and Lord, may it find us each one drawn closer to you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to think about the name of Jesus this morning. First of all, I'd like us to realize that his name is a purposeful name. Unlike today, where we often choose names based on whether or not we like them. And I remember when we're naming our children, you're trying to think of a name, and you think, well, what about this name, one of you says, and the other one says, no. I remember a person by that name, and I don't have good memories of that name. I just don't like the sound of that name. And so we often use names just whether we like them or not, or maybe because they are unique. In Bible times, names were often chosen purposefully. And of course, the name of Jesus is such a name. Jesus was not named after others. It was a common practice in Bible times and often still is done today where somebody is named after a family member. A son is named after the father or the grandfather or an uncle or so on. And there's a family connection in those names. We often, again, still do that today. Often a middle name is named after the father, a boy, and the mother after a girl, and so on. My two brothers are named after, one named after my dad, the other one named after one of my grandfathers, and then I came along and they had to come up with a unique name, so my dad named me after the barber. So I don't know how that works, but anyways, you know, they couldn't think of a name. What name should we call him? Oh, well, I like the way that guy cut my hair. What was his name again? But sometimes we name people after family members. I always get a chuckle out of that. You know, when you see somebody who is a senior citizen, and they are, this is so-and-so junior. And you're going, well, that's junior. Like, where is senior, honestly? You know, this guy is 80 years old and he's junior. I mean, come on, where's senior? Or you see a little child and you say, this is, you know, Robert so-and-so the third. You know, you go, the third? Well, I mean, it's this little, this big title of a name for this little child. So we do that today. We name people after somebody. You know, Jesus was not named after people in his earthly lineage. If you look at the account that Matthew gives in the beginning of the chapter we just read, there is no Jesus mentioned. You look in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 3 and you'll find there what is believed to be Mary's genealogy and you won't find Jesus in there. Jesus wasn't named after his earthly lineage. He was not named after that at all. It wasn't his main connection. We know that he was born, of course, of the flesh, but his connection was with heaven. He was not destined to be the next great carpenter of Nazareth, although he had created more than Joseph had carved or made with wood. Jesus is the Creator. He is God come in the flesh. But his name did not originate in the mind of Mary or Joseph. It came, as we see here, from God. The angel gave Joseph the name to call Jesus. And so Jesus' name was not named after others. It was a purposeful name. It tells of his purpose for coming. It tells of his reason for coming. As we look at people's names in the Bible, we often find the reason given for their name. Back in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 20, the Bible says that Adam called his wife's name Eve. And then it says, because she was the mother of all living. So the word Eve means the mother of living. He says the because in there. That's why he called her Eve. We find in Genesis chapter 4, verse 25, that Eve has a child and she names his name Seth. We know the story of Cain and Abel, how that Cain slew Abel and then Cain went off and lived apart from family and so on. And when Seth was born, the Bible says that Eve called him Seth. And if we look at the name of the word Seth and the context there, it means substitute. Because Eve says, God has given me another son in place of Abel, whom Cain slew. So there was meanings to names given. They were named because of the meaning. We see in the names of Jacob's sons, the children of Israel, that as Leah and Rachel had children, they named them certain things because of what was going on in the relationship. And so you can look and see all the 12 sons of Jacob were all named because of what was taking place. There was meaning to those names. So when Joseph was told by the angel that Jesus was to be called Jesus, he gave a reason for it. Jesus was so named because he was Jehovah who had come to save, which is exactly what his name means. It has a very specific meaning. It's the purpose of his coming. Jehovah is salvation. Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua or Jehoshua, also sometimes translated Hosea or Oshia. And it's in Greek, of course, in the New Testament because that's the language of the New Testament. And Joshua means Jehovah saved or Savior. You see here what it says in verse 21. It says that thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. His name is Jesus because or for he will save. He will save his people from their sins. His name is Savior. The word means to deliver, to heal, to make whole. Jesus came to deliver man from sin. You know, Jesus' name tells a story. Most people would say the name of Jesus without thinking about the story that it tells, but Jesus' name gives a story. You see, if man had no sin, he would have no need to be saved from sin. So what would be the need of having a Savior if nobody needed to be saved? But Jesus' name means Savior, or Jehovah is salvation. Romans 5:12 tells us that sin entered into the world by Adam, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That spiritual death that is spoken of, that separation from God, that's what Jesus came to save us from. So every time somebody says Jesus, they may be using it as a cuss word. They're really telling a story. Jehovah is salvation because we need to be saved. And if they're using it as a cuss word, that just proves the point. We need to be saved. People need salvation. Jesus came to deliver man from his sin so that we could be spared the death that we deserve and given the life that we do not deserve. Jesus came so that people could be restored to fellowship with God now and spend an eternity with Him in heaven later. A great purpose in His name. His name shall be called Jesus. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. He shall save His people from their sins. And who is His people? Who are His people? Those who will receive Him. Those who would believe upon Him are His people, because we find that He came unto His own, the Jewish people, and they received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. I find it interesting in verse 25 that as the angel has appeared to Joseph and told him what's going on, it says in verse 25, that Joseph knew Mary not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. You realize that when Joseph called Jesus, that was a decision of faith. He was placing his faith in what God had revealed to him by the angel. He was trusting, placing his faith in God, acknowledging his own need of Jesus, the Savior. And many people celebrate Christmas every year without ever thinking why Jesus came. I was noticing on Facebook this morning, my cousin in England, he is an atheist and makes no bones about that. And he posted a little thing this morning that it was supposed to be a conversation between an atheist and a Christian. And the Christian said to the atheist, why do you celebrate Christmas if you don't believe in Christ? And he said, the response was, why do you celebrate Thursday if you don't believe in Thor? And so the Christian responded, I don't celebrate it, that's what the day is called. And so the atheist responded, yes, and that's just what the time is called. So a lot of people are thinking, that's just what the time is called. I don't care what it's about. I'm just celebrating the fact that there's a holiday. This is what it's called, and this is what I will do. Sad that many people celebrate every year without thinking why Jesus came. You know, it's sad to think that they have all the pomp and all the celebration without the lasting joy and peace that He brings. Because their parties happen, and maybe have a great time, but then there's the day after, when everything's settled down and they've got nothing left in their heart, just a memory of perhaps the day before if they remember it. As we celebrate Christmas this year, have you believed in His name? Do you recognize His name? His name is a purposeful name, but His name is also a prophesied name. In our text this morning, in verses 22 and 23, it tells us that all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. There was a prophecy about the coming of Jesus, and Jesus' name is a prophesied name. First, the events of verses 18 to 21 were not a spur of the moment thing. They were fulfillments of promises made many years ago. Such a significant event was the incarnation of Christ that it was prophesied and planned before the foundation of the world. It reminds us that God's promises are sure. Though some 700 years had passed since Isaiah's prophecy that Matthew records there in verse 23 had been prophesied, God had not forgotten. God was just working out and knowing exactly what the timing would be. And Isaiah's prophecy referred to there, quoted from Isaiah 7:14 and Matthew 1:23 there, it was not the first one. The first prophecy was made about 4,000 years before these words were spoken. To Eve, where God said that there will be the seed of the woman who would bruise the serpent's head. And many times he had confirmed it over and over again to different ones at different times. I haven't counted them, but if you Google it or you look it up, it said that Jesus' first coming fulfilled over 300 prophecies. That's quite a few, isn't it? 300 prophecies were fulfilled or more by the fact that Jesus came. It's no surprise because Jesus himself said in Luke 24:44, "These are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." All things must be fulfilled, what was spoken by Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms, Jesus said, concerning me. All of them are to be fulfilled. When God makes a promise, you can be sure that he will keep it. And when you look at the promises about Jesus, the promises of the Messiah, we realize that those 300 that maybe relate to his first coming or so, there are many more that relate to future events. The fact that Jesus came in fulfillment to those 300 or more prophecies is just a reminder that all the rest of them will be fulfilled as well. There's not one of them that will be left unfulfilled because God is the God of His Word. And we may say, but time's gone by and I don't see things taking place and God hasn't fulfilled His promise. Peter said there'll be people come and they'll be mocking saying, well, what's going on? Why haven't the prophecies been fulfilled? We look at this and we say, they will be. They will be. You can count on it. You can rest assured that it will be so. And you better believe the promises of Christ in His first coming so that you're ready for the promises of His second coming. His promises are sure, and therefore you can take Him at His word and believe in Him. And believe the words that He says when He says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And so we realize that this God's promises are assured by this prophesied name, and that the virgin birth is a reality and something that took place. It says in verse 23, "A virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son." Joseph had found out that Mary was pregnant. He knew that he was not the father. Betrothal did not include the physical union, but it was a binding thing. It was as binding as marriage in Jewish law and tradition. Adultery, even during betrothal, was considered a crime worthy of death, according to Deuteronomy chapter 22. But because he was a just man, he was a nice man, a kind man, a righteous man, he didn't want to make a big display about this. He didn't want anything bad to happen to Mary. And so the Bible says that he was minded. He thought, I will put her away quietly, privately. We'll just end this thing on the quiet and nobody will know. But while he thought on those things, the angel of the Lord appeared to him. What did the angel say? The angel said, "Joseph, don't be afraid. Mary hasn't cheated on you. This isn't another man. This child that is within her is of the Holy Ghost." This is the fulfillment of what Isaiah said some 700 years before. Joseph, and your wife is the one whom God has chosen to be that one that was prophesied those years ago. God had promised that a virgin would conceive. He said it would be a sign. Well, surely it is a sign, because it's impossible from the human perspective, it's an impossibility that that would take place. It's unheard of and impossible. But when Mary said that to the angel responded, the things that are impossible with man are possible with God. For with God nothing shall be impossible. This promise was not only possible, it was absolutely necessary. See, what do you mean it was necessary? Well, any child born of an earthly father would inherit the sinful nature passed down from Adam. We all inherit that sinful nature. It's an inherent thing ever since Adam. Remember we said in Romans 5:12, it says that death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Ever since Adam and Eve, every person been born of the seed of a man has been what? It's been born a sinner. A man, no matter how righteous in the sight of other men, is still a man. Joseph was a just man, but he was still a man. It could not be that he would be the father of Jesus. Jesus' virgin birth was a necessity for him to be our Savior. He couldn't be Jesus if he was not born of a virgin. He could not be Jehovah is salvation. He could not be our Savior. He would have to be the Son of God in order to fulfill that name. It was because there would be no earthly father that his name would be Emmanuel, God with us. This was God robed in the flesh, present with man, as we looked at last week, the Word made flesh who dwelt among us. Yes, Jesus is a prophesied name. And so we realize that it is a purposeful name and is a prophesied name, but also I believe we see in our text this morning it is a precious name. A precious name. Peter says in 1 Peter 2 verse 7, "Unto you therefore which believe, he, Jesus, is precious." He is precious. God wants to save us. That's a precious thought, isn't it? God cares enough to save us. That's an amazingly precious thought. You get maybe a Christmas card or a gift at this time of the year, and you look in it, and you know that the person who sent it to you because they care about you. That's precious. That just sometimes it doesn't have to be anything big or anything great, but when you know the heart behind it, you say, "Man, that means a lot to me. That means more than you will ever know," you may say to that person, because that shows their care for me, their concern for me. You're having a bad day, a down day, and somebody gives you a call or sends you a card or sends you a note, and they say, "Hey, just wanted you to know I was thinking about you today." Well, that's precious. That gives you the lift. That gives you that's so nice. That's kind of they're thinking about me, knowing that I'm having a difficult day today. May I say to you today that the fact that Jesus came, the fact that His name is Jesus, is a precious thought, because it shows that God, the God of eternity, cares about me. He cares about you. He doesn't want us to die in our sins. He wants us to know that we're going to heaven. When man sinned, God didn't give up on him, but He promised to provide salvation. Though we were His enemies, He said, "I want to reconcile you to Myself." At great cost to Him. Though we are not worthy of His love and concern, God loves us and wants us to be saved. John 3:16 is that precious verse that says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Think about the name of Jesus and realize today it's a precious name, because it tells you God loves you. It tells you that God cares about you and He wants to save you. And that's a precious thought. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He made the promise to save us because of His love, and He keeps His promise because His Word is true. Every time you hear the name Jesus, be reminded of God's love and offer salvation, and realize it's a precious name. Again, to the world who uses it as a cuss word, they don't think it's precious, but when you know what it means, and you know what's behind it, you say, "That's a precious name to me." Precious because it reveals God's love and care for us, and precious also because Emmanuel, Jesus, the Word made flesh, God with us. It's precious because it means that God wants to be with us and He wants us to be with Him. I would imagine that most of us have a person in mind at some points that we say, I'd really like to meet that person. It may be a famous person. It may be the Prime Minister or the Queen or the President. It may be a sports figure that you say, man, they're just amazing in their sport, in their talent. I just love to meet them in person. To shake their hand and to just meet them. It may be an actor. It may be somebody who is famous for singing or whatever. And you think, man, if I just got to meet that would be amazing. If I got to meet that person. Say, if I got to actually see them, I mean, that would just be a great thing. I'd be honored to meet them. If they would actually say hi to me and know who I am, well, that would be amazing. But imagine that person that you may have in mind. You may think, boy, wouldn't it be nice to just go for a coffee with them and just sit and talk, just find out about them and let them tell them about you. And you say, that would be amazing that a person of fame or of renown would spend any time with me. But did you see what we just read here? His name shall be Emmanuel, God with us. That's not just another human being. That's not just another flesh and blood. That's not just somebody who maybe has a talent that's made them famous or a position that's made them famous. This is God, the Creator, the one who's behind everything. He says, I want to be with you. And I want you to be with me. His name is God with us. The miracle of the incarnation, that God became man. He walked on the earth and that like His creation, with His creation. For 33 years, day in and day out, people touched and spoke with God. You say, but we're not there. We are 2,000 years down the road and we don't have that same opportunity. He's in heaven now. Well, that's true. But as reminded last Sunday night in 1 John 1:3, one of those who was with Jesus for 3 years of His life, who said His hands had handled the Word of life, said, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. John said, listen, you may not physically be with Him, but He will be with you. And you can have fellowship with Him. We can spend rewarding personal time with the Creator of the universe because He came to save us. Because He restored a relationship that was broken in Eden. Because Jesus came, we can glean from His wisdom. We can seek His direction. We can enjoy His fullness. Precious name, Jesus. God with us. The Word made flesh. The psalmist said, when I see all that God has done, all that God has made, he said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou considerest him? The thought is, it's precious to think that God loves us so much. Jesus. His name shall be called Jesus. It was purposeful. He came to save. It was prophesied. It was told so many years ago. It is precious because it means that He loves us and that He wants to be with us. It is also a powerful name. It's a powerful name. Powerful that He's with us. Again, we just made that statement that God is with us. How powerful is that statement? Jesus' coming was not just for the future to prepare us for heaven, as good as that is. His coming prepares us for every day of our life. It impacts us on a daily basis. There are things in this life that are not easy to handle. There are things that go on in our lives and we say, I don't know how I'm going to make it through this. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. Let me give you the answer. Jesus. God with us. He said, I'm not going to stop the times of difficulty in your life, but I will say this, I will be with you. There are things that rock our world and would overcome us, but they don't have to, because He said, I will be with you, and those things will not overflow you. They will not overwhelm you, because I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's a powerful statement. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. It's a powerful name, the name of Jesus. Powerful because He is with us. His presence is powerful. But think about it, and let's turn in conclusion this morning to Philippians chapter 2 and realize that Jesus' name is a name that is above every name. It is a powerful name. Philippians chapter 2, we're probably familiar with these verses. Philippians 2, in the verses preceding to what we'll read this morning, talk about the incarnation of Christ and how He was made a man, and He was made of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a man. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Verse 8 tells us, verse 9 says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We may not think, people may not think much about Jesus' name. People may use Jesus' name as a curse word, but God said His name is a special name and is a powerful name, and He said that it's a highly exalted name. The thought of highest exalted, God hath highly exalted Him, is the thought is to raise to the highest position. To raise to the highest position, a name above every name. The thought there is beyond, very chiefest, exceeding. You read what John Lennon said some years ago as he was with the Beatles, of course. He said, we are already more famous than Jesus. Christianity will fade away, but we will still, our name will still stand. Now, my Bible tells me that at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that He is Lord. Not in the name of John Lennon, not in the name of the Beatles. His name is the name that's exalted. Many people have denied God's existence. They said that Jesus was just a man, but God says that Jesus' name would be exalted above theirs. Richard Dawkins and all those in evolution who stand against God and say there is no God and so on, their names will fade into oblivion, but the name of Jesus will stand. His name is a powerful name. There may be people who are infamous and their names are known, but Jesus Christ's name will stand above all others for all of eternity. It's a powerful name. People come into popularity and they think they're invincible, but they soon find out that the law catches up with them and all kinds of things happen, and soon they fade off the scene and people say, who was that? Sometimes you talk about somebody who was famous in our day to your children and they go, who's that? Never heard of them before. And maybe, you know, you Google their name or you look it up and you see something, you go, you actually listened to that? You actually watched that? Ha ha! Really? But Jesus will never be a name that fades off the scene. His name is a name that God has highly exalted. It will never be forgotten because it's a name that is above every name. And did you see that God has highly exalted Jesus, but He's given Jesus a name which is above every name? Verse 10 says that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth. The name of Jesus. They're going to bow to His name and they're going to confess that He is Lord. To bow the knee is to respect and acknowledge His superiority. People who said, I don't believe in it. I don't believe in that stuff. Ah, Christmas, that's just what they call this time of the year. Jesus, He doesn't mean anything to me. One day that name is a name that they will bow the knee to. They will say, that is a name that's far greater than anything I've known. They will confess Him as Lord. All who denied Him, all who mocked Him, those who cursed Him will bow to His name and confess that He is Lord. We live in a world today where there's a lot of name dropping done to try and get, oh yeah, I know so-and-so. And people try and pick up a name and say, oh yeah, you know, I know this person, I know that person. I work at a company, and in the collections department of a company, sometimes people, you know, be on the wrong end of a phone call sometimes, and you know, they try to drop the name of the manager or the name of the company sometimes, thinking, oh, that'll make this person go easy on me because I know that person. People may use that to get into certain places and get certain jobs and so on, but I tell you this morning, the name of Jesus is such a powerful name. It's the only name that will get you into heaven. No other name will get you into heaven than the name of Jesus. Not just the mere reciting of the name, but believing in the one who has the name. The name of Jesus, the Savior. Jehovah is salvation. Jehovah saves. The Savior, Jesus. By the way, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12 tells us Jesus. What a powerful name. The only name that will save you. The one who has that name, Jesus, a name above every name. This Christmas, I encourage you, think about Jesus. What a name. There's none other like it. It's purposeful. It tells us He's a Savior. It tells a story that we need a Savior and He will save us if we will believe in Him. It's prophesied. It tells us that God fulfills His Word. And there's many other prophecies, so you best believe, because there's much more to be fulfilled and you need to be ready. It's precious. It's precious to realize that God loves us that much, that He wants to save us. He wants to be with us and He wants us to be with Him. And it's powerful. So powerful that one day every knee will bow to it. And every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Don't wait for that day. You will bow. Make the time you bow now. Not later, but now. If you wait till later, it will be too late. But bow to Him now and receive Him as Savior. Confess Him as Lord now. Christian, let me ask you, is He the Lord of your life? It's easy to say His name and say, yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I know Jesus is salvation. That's right. He's my Savior. But is He your Lord? Do you serve Him? Do you follow Him? Just a simple acrostic. It's on the back of your bulletin this morning. But as I thought about the name of Jesus, let me leave you with that. Jehovah extends salvation unto sinners. Aren't you glad for the name of Jesus today? People may use it as a cuss word. People may treat it lightly. But Jesus, what a name.